listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Every year, Laborers for Christ serves people around the country in a number of ways, but particularly through building projects and building relationships. Joining me by phone today, the Vandercar family, to share their Laborers for Christ story. Mike and Verna have been serving as Laborers for Christ. Thanks so much for joining us by phone today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Privileged to have you with us today. Tell us a little bit about the Vandercar family. I have a personal connection to the Vandercar family through our connection with Camp Luther Haven, but I know there's so much more to the Vandercar family than that. Tell us a little bit about the Vandercar family today.
Well, we have four children, and we're expecting our number 14th grandchild. We have our oldest son, Joshua, and Adrian, and then Luke is married to Tammy, and David is married to Whitney, and Shell is married to James Rackhill, who is a pastor out in the Nebraska-Wyoming district. We've always been involved in camp ministry, so when we got called to work for Camp Okoboji for Laborers for Christ, we were pretty excited about that.
When was it that you first learned about Laborers for Christ? Where were you in life when you first started learning about Laborers for Christ?
Yeah, we were back at Trinity in Lowell, Trinity Lutheran in Lowell, Indiana, and there was a couple that had come back from Laborers, and this was back in the 80s, and they told us about it, and I told Mike, when we retire, that is something that I really want to do. And all through the years, we just remembered Laborers and had it just in the back of our minds. And when Mike retired, we were still thinking about doing Laborers, and we had built our house, and it was like we were ready, and God called us.
We also had an opportunity to work on a Laborers project as a volunteer in about 2002 when Grace Lafayette, Grace Lutheran Church in Lafayette, Indiana, built a new sanctuary, and they had a Laborers crew come in and do that sanctuary for them. So we were attending Grace on weekends, as our kids were all down in Lafayette at Purdue, and we would go there on the weekends and help them build their sanctuary. So that gave us a good introduction into the Laborers program when that project was going on also.
What was it about your involvement with Laborers there? What did you experience in that project at Grace Lutheran in Lafayette, Indiana, that made you think this is something we'd like to do more in the future?
Well, I think we saw the Laborers get together and do their devotion every day, and they just had a bond that was close. They prayed together, and it was just something that I thought, wow, everybody's working for the same goal, just building for His glory, and it just was an awesome experience.
What were the kinds of things that they were working on? What were the kinds of things they were doing? You mentioned that they were building a new sanctuary, I believe. What were the kinds of projects what were the types of labor they were doing?
Well, I was working on, I did ceramic tile in the bathrooms. That was one of the big things I did, other than cutting wood and stuff like that.
They did pretty much all of the carpentry work on that job also. A lot of the mechanical and electrical plumbing work was done by contractors. The laborers, basically, they built the sanctuary, you know, and it was a big project. It was probably one of Laborers' larger projects, but it really went well. They had a lot of volunteer help from the congregation, which is important, and just good support from the community and the church at large there, you know.
So where did you go from that project at Grace? What was your next connection with Laborers for Christ?
We really didn't have one until I retired, and that was 3 years ago. And we wanted to start on a Laborers project, get involved with Laborers, but we needed a place to live first, and so we chose to build our retirement home before we went to work for Laborers. And when we came to got that done, We didn't have a motor home to live in, which most laborers do. And this job came up at Camp Okoboji. They were looking for laborers. They were looking for a project manager. And I said, we've not done either one, but we're willing to try if you can use this. And they said, yes, come. So they had housing. We didn't have to worry about a motor home at Camp Okoboji up in Northwest Iowa. And so we jumped in the car and went there and went to work. And it was great. We loved it.
Now, it sounds like you were excited about going to a camp. What's your connection to, what was your exposure to camps prior to going to Okoboji?
Our children were able to grow up going to camp. Neither Mike or I, we had gone to a couple just different day camps or something like that when we were younger, but not got to experience a Lutheran camp for, you know, a week at a time. But our children did. From the time they could go, and then they were all counselors, and Joshua was impact ministry worker, and now David, the executive director down here at Camp Lakeview. And so camp ministry is pretty important to us and really in our hearts.
How would you say it was a part of your vocation as parents in raising your children in the Christian faith?
The camp was a very important part of who our children were growing up and who they became in their later lives. We give a lot of credit to the camp ministries. We always kind of felt, Vern and I, that why are the kids having all the fun? We can't. Well, when we had opportunity to go to work for laborers, I said, this is our turn to go to a camp. And this just happened to be at Camp Okoboji, which was an outdoor ministry camp. But I think any of the laborers projects where the people go and stay in their RVs is similar experience to what our children got to experience in a camp environment. And just being around people with the same beliefs that you have on a daily basis, spending time in fellowship with them, it's something that is almost an indescribable experience until you've done it. The camp background is what fueled a lot of that, and we give all credit to Camp Luther Haven, Camp Lakeview, all the outdoor ministry camps across the United States. They do a great job.
And to what God has done in their lives. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
So your kids had great camp experiences, and now it's your turn to head to camp. You head to Camp Okoboji.
Exactly. I felt like a little kid.
You were as excited as a little kid going to camp. You get to Camp Okoboji. What were the projects that they had for you that were waiting for you when you got there?
Well, when we first got there, I signed up to be the project manager because they were having trouble finding even someone to fill that position. So I've never done it before, but I have confidence that I can. And they recruited a retired project manager, Bob Natsky. He was from up by Green Bay, Wisconsin. He had been a project manager on like 20 projects. He came over and spent a couple weeks with me to just get me started, get me oriented to what some of the project manager's responsibilities were. And the first month up at Camp Okoboji, we had inclement weather and we couldn't get going on the project, so I had a lot of time to spend with Bob and also just getting my feet on the ground, getting wet as to what needs to be done, you know, through the management end of the job. And it wasn't until we got there the first part of September, the first part of October, we finally got to start building. And that's when I called our labor's crew in. And we built a 5,500 square foot, I think they were calling it Activity Center.
Discover Center.
Yeah. And it encompassed a large meeting room and then six kind of like satellite rooms around the perimeter of the building that they're going to use for their summer camp, for craft activities, just for gathering spaces for their youth to gather in inclement weather or different activities. in the off season to plan on using it for small retreat groups and different community activities where they can have space to rent out and just draw people into the camp and bring more people into their camp.
So you had the privilege of being the project manager for this and seeing this project, seeing this project through?
Yes, we had to leave before the project. There was about a month left on the project to before its completion. They're going to have their dedication on Memorial Day. But we had commitments back in Indiana in April, a couple weddings we had to come to and this and that. So we left the project the end of March. I had one of the laborers that lives a couple hours from camp that had been coming up through the week to work. And he took over as project manager for me to finish out the job. But we got to see it through to the point where the drywall was finished. The painting was just being completed when we left. They had cabinets and interior doors and stuff to hang yet, but it was pretty near completion.
Tell me about those you met while you were working on this project at Camp Okoboji.
I'm sorry, Andy, I didn't hear that.
Tell me about the people you met while you were there.
Oh, that's the best part. Our team, we had eight different couples on the whole project, and they were from Wyoming, Minnesota, Colorado, Michigan, Missouri, Kansas, Iowa, and Indiana. And it was just, every day we'd get up and we'd go to work and we'd pray together before we started. And then we'd work and then break and have devotions together. And then we'd work until 4:30 and then we'd have our fellowship time together afterwards before we all split and went to our own cabins for dinner. But it's just, you can't imagine the closeness that you feel working side by side together with people for 7 months and experiencing what you get to experience together. I miss them.
All of the people on our crew were retired men or women. We had one gentleman his career was as an appliance salesman. Another school teacher. We had a retired National Guardsman. We had a retired aeronautical engineer, a civil engineer, and one man that owned a plumbing business that he sold to his children. And then we had one other fellow that worked for the electric company. So we had, and I sold heavy equipment for a living. So we had quite an array of men and women from different backgrounds. Nobody that really had much construction experience. But every day when we would encounter a problem, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Somebody would have an answer. And if they didn't, we'd wait a day or two and God would just send an answer to us. It was awesome to see God's hand working throughout the whole project. Whenever we had a need come up, if you didn't know how you were going to fill it or how it was going to come together, you wait a couple days, pray on it, and an answer would come. And you'd just like, oh, there it is.
You really got to draw on the different experiences of the team members, but others as well, and other resources. Mike, tell me a little bit about your career and the experience that you brought to this project.
Well, I guess my career is in construction equipment sales. I had a background not necessarily in building construction and that, but more road building equipment. I think the skills that I use most in the project up there was just organizing, looking out for details. That's what Bob Natsky would tell me. You're going to do good at this because you're detail-oriented. When I would sell a piece of construction equipment to a county highway department or to a contractor, that's what they were all about. How much work is it going to do for me in a day's time? And they would want to know all the details on the machine. And so I had that background, some computer skills as far as organizing books and keeping records, and that was the type of stuff I needed to use in that project management position to to keep everything on track, to keep all the subs lined up, the accounting in order, the invoicing of the jobs. There was a lot more work than I thought going in. I was hoping I'd be able to have a hammer in my hand more than I did, but that didn't happen. I didn't put my work belt on until probably when we were had maybe a couple weeks left in the job. All the other laborers took over. My wife did more work than I did, probably physical labor on the job. But it was just awesome to see all those skills come together and put a building up.
Verna, tell me about what you brought to this project and the things that you got to work on while you were there.
Well, the guys were calling me a sawyer. I didn't know what a sawyer was, but I was one. I cut 90% of the boards that went into that building. So they would give me the measurements, and I would cut them. I did whatever needed to be done. I mean, we had built our house, so I knew how to do different stuff. And so I even got to work on the lift. I learned how to run the scissor lift, and so I was doing that and just kind of did whatever needed to be done wherever I needed to be.
So you both brought experience, whether it was from a career or from previous projects that you, personal projects, building your home, you both brought experience and also gained some meaningful relationships from this project, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of going through withdrawal. I miss my friends. I mean, it's hard to say goodbye because you don't know. We said to them, we're not going to say goodbye. We're going to say see you later, because hopefully it'll be on another project for Laborers for Christ someday.
Do you stay in touch with your friends from Laborers for Christ?
Yep. I got a birthday card and calls on my birthday from a couple of them. And, yeah, there was one of the women that I was closest with was from Cheyenne, Wyoming, and it was because she was one of the rostered laborers that worked with me, you know, with the hands-on building. Some of the other wives that come on the project, they either like to work for the camp if they have office work, or some of them are just there with their husbands and not actually doing work. But Linda Huckfelt was the one that worked with me the most, and we really became close forever friends.
Tell me, were there any stories from this project, anything that happened on this project that makes a great story that you want to share, that you'll carry with you from this project as you look at perhaps future projects?
Well, I think one of them, one of the things that we got to do, too, while we were waiting for the roofers or waiting for different contractors to come in, and we were running out of work, we got to build a gazebo out on the lake. We were at Spirit Lake. It was Lake Okoboji. It was over 4,000-acre lake. It's called the Great Lakes in Iowa. I didn't even know there were Great Lakes in Iowa, but it was a beautiful setting. And we built a big gazebo out on the lake. And when we left there, I thought, we were so happy to be doing work and in our spare time, not even wanting to sit in our cabins and not work, that we all came together and did this little project that really wasn't meant to be, but we just all came together and then were able to enjoy it out on the lake together before we left. Yeah, that's probably one of my things that I remember that was awesome.
We had a lot of fun.
We did.
Kidding each other with the different dialects that we'd have, or our way of speaking.
Our accent.
Accent. That's what the word I was looking for. Dawn became Don. And we had nicknames for some of the different labors. We had a Judy, and there was no Judy on our job.
See,
just the bantering back and forth between each other. A couple of the labors kept giving me a hard time about put them on the roof during the coldest day of the year and make them work outside on the roof. And it was a great crew that nobody got uptight about anything, because, like I say, they were all there for the right reasons to serve God. And we just got along great together. The crew just came together as brothers and sisters, and we had an awesome experience. And we still will kid each other about, oh, you mean Dawn or Don? You know?
And we actually did have a Dawn and a Don.
We did have a Dawn and Don.
Well, it sounds like you had a great experience.
The camaraderie that comes out like that was awesome.
You had a great experience on your first official project with Laborers for Christ. Your involvement with them sounds like it's just been fantastic. Plans for to get on a future project with Laborers for Christ?
Yeah. We told them we wanted to. Mike actually got asked to be for project manager for a couple projects before we even left Iowa. They wanted us out in Virginia in May, and we need to be home with our family for a little bit. And so we're going to take a little bit of a break and enjoy our lakefront for the summer. And then we'll see in the fall what the Lord has in store for us.
And then who knows, maybe off to another camp or a church, a congregation setting, and help with another project there. For people who now have the gift of time, you mentioned that the team that you were with were mostly, if not all, retired and had this gift of time. For those who are now finding themselves with this gift of time or looking forward to having that gift of time, who might be thinking of serving as laborers for Christ, what's your advice?
If you can do it, do it. If you have that luxury of being able to leave, and it's just an experience that just can't be explained. And if you have the opportunity to do it, I would really encourage newly retired people to join laborers for Christ. We need laborers.
You don't have to be a skilled craftsman. We had one guy, one of our volunteers that came to our job. The first day he said he'd never ran a nail gun and he'd never run a skill saw before, but he was willing to learn. And he ended up coming out almost every day helping us. And by the end of the project, he was the go-to guy for a lot of stuff. You would go to him, I'll help you with this, give me a hand with this, and he was right on it. I mean, he learned a lot, I think, and we really, really enjoyed having him on the project. And there's just people like that, if they're willing to learn, test yourself, and God will give you the time and give you the, you know, it'll make it possible.
Andy, I want to say thank you to Camp Okoboji and all their staff there. They were fantastic. We got really close with some of the office staff, and it was a neat experience. They just opened up their arms to us and welcomed us and just helped us with anything and everything that we needed.
Well, I'm glad you had a great experience with Laborers for Christ at Camp Okoboji in Iowa, and glad that they now have a new building that will serve them and those who come to visit Camp Okoboji in the future as well. It sounds like a win-win situation. The laborers got to come and use their gifts and talents to serve in a great way and build some very meaningful relationships, and the camp now has a great facility to use to serve those who will be visiting camp in a number of ways.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, thank you, Andy. It was great talking with you.
It was a pleasure to have you with us, Mike and Verna Vandercar, Laborers for Christ. God's blessings on your service. Enjoy your summer and whatever lies ahead in the fall.
Thank you. Rejoice.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.